Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. James chapter 5, verse 16. I'll read the scripture. We'll pray. I'll give you the title. We'll pray and jump right in today. No funny business today. We're jumping right in, brother friend, right into the sermon into God's Word. I'm excited about it. James 5, 16 says this, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And you can go to that next slide, Darren. Here's the title, "I Believe Prayer Works." I believe prayer works. And let's start the sermon by praying and asking God to bless it. As I pray and ask God to help me and bless the sermon, you pray in your own hearts now that God would speak to you. Father God, we love you. We need you. We thank you for who you are and what you do. Thank you, God, for the privilege and opportunity to talk to you. Thank you for the gracious gift of prayer, that we can at any time come to you and talk to you, God our Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. We get to talk to you. What a privilege it is. Please, God, use this sermon in someone's heart today. Help us to clear our minds, free us from distractions, and do what only you can do in your house this morning. We love you and thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we, church, truly believed that prayer changes things, we'd never stop doing it. The truth of the matter is, although we say we believe in prayer and the power of it, all of us can have a stronger prayer life. I'll say it from up here on the platform as your pastor. I know that my prayer life needs to grow. I may say, and I'll preach this morning, hey, prayer works, but I need to practice what I preach and pray more. Prayer is one of the most simple and yet one of the most neglected parts of the Christian life. It's so simple. James tells us in the passage, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. In other words, when God's people in this room, when God's people pray sincerely, earnestly, and consistently, it makes a difference. It changes things. And this morning I want to remind you of this powerful, accessible, and yet often forgotten tool in the Christian life, and that is prayer. I got four things this morning. I promise we won't be long. Four things about prayer that I want to remind you of and challenge you with. Number one is this. Prayer is easy. What, Pastor? If it's easy, why do we forget? Here's what I mean when I say prayer is easy. Prayer is just talking to God. It's just talking to God. Anywhere, anytime, no matter what, prayer is just talking to God. You don't need a degree to pray. You don't have to have just the right exact words. You don't need to be in a church building to pray. Prayer is simply a child talking to their father. I have four boys. My oldest is 14. My youngest is 8. And throughout their lives up to this point, they love talking to dad. They enjoy having conversations with dad. Whether I am free or whether I am working, they still want to talk to dad. And there are times as I'm working, I work from home, and I'm on my laptop. Listen, tomorrow is a holiday. All the kids are home. But guess who doesn't have a holiday? Latham Center doesn't have a holiday, do they, Moses? Okay? I'm working tomorrow. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that tomorrow at some point, as I'm in my little corner office right in our pantry, I have a little desk in our pantry where I got my laptop, and they're going to become, dad, like Porky Pig, dad. And I'm going to, and oftentimes to my shame, I'll say, guys, give me a moment, please. They want to talk to me. They want to have conversations. We're driving in the car. Sometimes Well, we love listening to music. We're a musical family. We love singing loud, whatever it is. We have a blast. But sometimes I turn the music down and say, I need to have some conversation with my kids. They want to talk to me. And we talk about this, that, the other thing. We like talking about wrestling. We like talking about soccer. We like talking about the Patriots. We like talking about whatever, video games that they're playing. We like, Brady's been having so many crazy dreams at night. He comes in, Dad, you ever believe what happened? Shrek was in my dream last night. And then he chased out this chicken down the road. And I'm like, man, you're crazy, dude. What are you eating before bed? But they want to talk to us. And prayer is simply a child talking to their father. It's an honest conversation with the one who loves you most. That's what prayer is. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing. Or you could even say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We go to God with needs, with supplications. God, I love you and I know you can provide. Here's what's going on. 1 Thessalonians 5, a very short scripture that says, pray without ceasing. Does that mean we pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? That's impossible. We can't do that. What that is saying is there's always a line of communication between me and God. An air traffic controller in the tower at an airport is not constantly talking to the pilots, but there's always a direct line of communication at any time where they can talk. Pray without ceasing doesn't mean never stop praying, because that's impossible, but it means having a heart, having an attitude of prayer, where in a moment's notice, your heart automatically goes to, God, I need you. I've heard so many stories of Christians who have gotten ready to be, actually speaking of, we just had the anniversary of September 11th, and I've watched many documentaries and testimonies of people. One man was on, I can't remember what floor, but the floor right around where the planes hit the buildings, and he looked out his big office window and saw the plane headed straight for him. And the first thing that he said was, God, help me. God, help me. And he survived. Praise the Lord. But having an attitude of prayer that in your darkest moments, in those moments when you get that phone call and these unexpected news, whatever it may be, that your heart automatically goes to, I need God. Prayer is easy. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. In other words, wherever you are, God will meet you there. You can pray. Yes, you can pray here at the church. We'll have a time of prayer, and often we have a time of invitation where we'll say, hey, you know, come down to the altar and pray. And by the way, I'll say this. We don't do that every week, but when we do that, I hope you understand. When I, at the end of a sermon, we bow our heads and I ask some questions and you raise your hand about this or that, or I'm struggling, or whatever it may be the sermon is about. And then I say, hey, if you want to talk to God this morning, or you want to come and get some things right with God, come down to the altar. The altar, that word I know is an older word. What that means is just the front around here. It's just a time where you can really make a commitment. Anybody can pray in their seat, and I'm all for that. But there are times as a Christian, as we grow in our faith, when it's important to take a stand. It's important as a growing Christian to say, you know what? I don't care if anyone sees me. I'm taking a step of faith and getting closer to God. So when the pastor says, hey, if you need to talk to God, and we say, do business with God, as in like, hey, let's get some things right. There's something powerful about physically getting to our feet and coming down to an altar, not caring about anything else. It's me and God. And I'm going to kneel down here at the end of this sermon. I'm going to talk to God and ask him for help. There's something powerful about that. There's something important. Again, that's not in the notes, but I'm just saying that. When I say that, don't be embarrassed by that. Some of the greatest decisions I've ever made in my entire life as a believer happened at a church altar. Whether it was at a church service or a Bible camp as a teenager. I remember being at an altar at this old camp in Kentucky out in the middle of nowhere underneath a pavilion with metal folding chairs. It was hot, it was humid, and God changed my life. And I came down to this old wooden altar there in Kentucky, and God met me there. Prayer is easy. You can talk to God on your drive to work, in the hospital waiting room, before you get into a meeting, before you tuck your kids into bed, anywhere. Prayer, listen, if we're being honest, prayer is easy. We can do it whenever. God doesn't need fancy words. He just wants a willing heart. There are many times in our lives when we struggle with our attitude, whatever it may be. I've mentioned this before. There have been some Sunday mornings in the last 6 years when I'm driving to church, and this was just probably within the last year. I remember getting up on a Sunday morning. I don't know if we had a late night on Saturday or what, but Sunday morning, I was struggling in my spirit. I don't know what it was. I was kind of happy. You ever just wake up on the wrong side of the bed? That's what I did that morning. Nobody did anything to me. My kids were fine. My wife was fine. I was just kind of, to be honest, it's kind of in a bad mood. I don't know why. And I'm driving to church, and I got my boys with me. Marissa was going to take Seth later on. She comes a little bit after because I come early. And the kids were not doing anything wrong. They were having fun. They were in a good mood. And I was so impatient. I remember just being like, guys, quiet down. Being a grump. I don't know why. I really didn't feel like listening to worship music that morning. Normally, we'll crank the worship music and get... I don't know what it was. And I remember the Spirit convicted me on that 30-minute drive from Brewster and said, like, what's your deal, big boy? Like, you ever had the Holy Spirit do that to you? Just kind of call you out? And I'm like, you know... And for the first time, Nate, in a long time, I think I understood the challenge that a churchgoer has on some Sunday morning. I'm the pastor. I don't get to just say, you know, I don't feel like going to church today. That morning, I didn't feel like going to church. I'm saying if I was not the pastor and I was just a regular attender on that Sunday, I probably would have stayed home. That's how my attitude was. And I began to see, you know what? There's a lot of people in our church that have just as rough of a week as I have or a bad morning, and now I understand. I'm only going because I have to right now. And the Spirit of God smote my heart. But I said, God, I need your help today. I don't even know what to pray. I'm just struggling. And I got to church, and we sat up here, and the video played, and then and God began to challenge me, and it was one of our best Sundays we ever had. And I was like, God, thank you. Forgive me for my attitude. Later on, I just was talking to a pastor about this very same story, a local pastor, a friend of mine. And he said, I told him that story. He said, man, he's like, every Sunday morning before church starts at their church, he said, I have a list of names of Cape Cod pastors that I pray for. He's like, you're on that list because I know you're my friend. I go through from Bourne all the way up to, you know, Eastham and just pastors I know, and I pray for them by name. He's like, and I always sometimes think, like, is this even doing anything? Does this even matter? He goes, and I bet you on that Sunday morning it mattered. He was praying for me. He didn't know I was having a bad morning. Maybe some of you have a habit of praying for your pastor or whatever. And if you don't, I hope you start because I need it. But you pray. Listen, your prayers matter. Your prayers matter. Prayer is easy. We prayed for so long, Darren, about your job situation, and we saw God answer it. We prayed, Justin, for your health struggles, and we saw God work miracles. On and on we go across the entire room. We've seen God work amazingly. Listen, prayer is easy, and it changes things, so we must practice. If you can talk, you can pray. Number two, prayer is not only easy, but prayer is hard. Prayer is hard. Why is prayer hard? Because we have an enemy who hates it. You know why prayer is so neglected? It's so easy but so neglected? Because the enemy knows how powerful it is. He'll do anything he can to keep you from praying. The moment you decide to pray, maybe in your house, before in the morning, the moment you say, you know, I'm going to have some time of prayer with God. What happens? Something distracts you. A kid comes in, so you get a phone call, whatever. Distractions will come. The phone will buzz. The mind will wander. The devil does not fear a busy Christian. The devil fears a praying Christian. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, the scriptures say, but against principalities, against powers, against high rulers in dark places. Listen, it's the devil doesn't want you to pray. The devil doesn't want you to take time and talk to God. So he will do whatever it takes. Hey, you've been waiting for that overtime. You're saying, you know, I'm going to get home from work today and pray. And then your boss says, hey, how about some of that extra pay? Can you stay late? Oh, definitely. And you stay late. And then you get home and you're extra tired. Oh, man, I'll do it tomorrow. Anything the devil can do. You get ready to kneel by your bed and pray in the morning. And then suddenly you hear someone, some kid crying, or maybe your spouse crying, who knows what it is, but you got to go take care of it. Listen, the devil doesn't want you to pray. Jesus said in Matthew 26, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I have no doubt that in this room of believers, children of God, those who want to be a disciple of Christ, you're like, yes, I want to pray. I want to pray more. I want my prayer life to be strong. I believe that your spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. We live busy lives. Prayer is spiritual warfare. Every time we say our Father or dear God or whatever, we begin that prayer, it's a declaration that God is king and not Satan. And guess who hates that? The devil. God is king and he's not. Listen, don't let distractions, don't let discouragement keep you from the place of power, and that is in prayer. God works in prayer. Sometimes it's not just hard to pray because of distractions, which that's probably the biggest one. We just get so busy. We live busier lives than God ever intended us to live. Hey, we're making some decisions as a family. He said, man, we got a lot of fall sports we're doing now for all of our kids. And I noticed, we said, you know, we're just too busy this fall. Next fall, we got to make some change. We got to make some adjustments. We got to make some adjustments. Her schedule's crazy. My schedule's crazy. The kids, and I'm like driving around. I'm like, we're killing ourselves right now. That's not the way God designed the family. To be going a million miles an hour, never able to spend time together, never able to spend time together worshiping God. Hey, praise God for church worship, but how about family worship? Your home should be a spiritual place as well. My home should be a place of prayer as well. My home, the Savini home out there on Bassett Lane and Brewster, should be a holy place where God is mentioned, talked about, prayed to, sung to, worshiped. That's God's design for the family. But we busy ourselves so much. And I understand there's nothing we can do about work and about job. We live in the Cape. We got to work 1, 2, 3 jobs. I get it. I understand that. But then we add on 10 other things for each member of the family, and suddenly every member of the family is exhausted, tired, worn out, no time for anything but maybe getting a quick bite to eat and sleep, wake up, do it all again. We got to slow down. Because guess what? Travel League fall soccer, and my son's in it, isn't changing the world. Okay? Fill in the blank with whatever it is that's keeping you busy. Prayer changes the world. Prayer changes your kids' lives. Listen, Charlie's great at soccer, but I'm telling you, he's not going to be on FIFA 2032 for the Xbox as one of the players, and that's okay. He's great. He has fun. He'll play in the spring. We'll balance it better. But I'll tell you, what will change Charlie's life? Making prayer a habit in my home. Making time with God a priority for our family in my house. That's what'll do it. But prayer is hard. The devil hates it. He doesn't like it. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard to pray, not because of business, because it's hard to pray because you're afraid of what the answer might be. Been there. Sometimes it's hard to pray because maybe you're a little upset with God at things that have happened in your life. Listen, by the way, don't be embarrassed by that. I've been there too, where it's hard to pray because I'm a little upset with God. It's not that I don't love him. It's not that he doesn't love me. I never have doubted that. But sometimes I just say, God, what are you doing? And my prayer is not a, God, would you help me through this? Or would you help me in this situation? Sometimes my prayer, and this I will say to my shame, is, God, how could you? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but have you ever asked that question? Something along those lines. God, how could you do this? How is this your plan? How is this your will? Lord, don't you know what it's doing to me? Sometimes it's hard to pray because we're a little upset with God, or maybe it's hard because you don't know what to say. You've run out of words. You've run out of energy. Yes, sometimes prayer is hard for whatever reason you can think of right now. But let me say this, pray anyways. Pray anyways. This past Easter 2025 was one of the hardest Sundays of my entire life as a pastor, as a man. And I came to church and I wept in that back closet. And I said, God, I have nothing to give, and I need you. And God blessed. I didn't want to pray. At that moment, I was a little upset with the Lord and some things, questioning, wondering. But by his grace and mercy, in that moment I said, God, I need you. And he brought me through. And he's brought you through your things as well. And he'll continue to do it. Listen, if prayer feels hard sometimes, you're probably doing it right. You're probably doing it right. Prayer is hard. Number three. Yes, prayer is easy. Prayer is hard. Prayer is a reminder. Prayer is a reminder. What do you mean, Pastor? Listen, every time you whisper the words, dear God, and begin to pray, every dear God reminds us that God is there. You're not just speaking to the air. You're not just speaking into the abyss, into nothingness. No, every time you say, dear God, oh, dear Jesus, it's a reminder that God is there. Every time you bow your head, you're reminded that you're not alone. You're not alone. Even when everyone else walks away, when family is gone, when friends fail you, every time you say, dear God, it's a reminder that you are not alone. Just the act of praying, of true, genuine prayer, the act of praying re-centers your heart. It shifts your focus from the problem or trial you're facing to the person of God. It's a reminder. That's why it's so important, for the devil hates it. Psalm 145, 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Psalm 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Hebrews 4, 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prayer is a reminder. When you pray, you're not just sending words into the air. You're stepping into the presence of the living God. That's prayer. Every prayer is a faith statement that says, God, I still believe you're here, and I still believe you care. Even when we doubt, even when we struggle, even when, yes, when we're maybe a little questioning about what God is doing, every time we decide, we take that step of faith and say, God, I'm coming to you. I may not understand what you're doing. I may not even like what you're doing, but God, I'm coming to you knowing that you are my only hope. Prayer is a reminder. Back in July, we had a very scary moment as a family with our oldest son, Donald, with some unknown seemed to be allergic reaction, and many of you were praying for Donald on that week when his fevers got over 104 and his entire body was covered in rashes and itches and splotchiness, and he had to have 3 EpiPens in just 2 days and back and forth to the emergency room all the way out to Boston Children's, and we didn't know what was going on. Nothing was seeming to work. We were up all week long with no sleep at all. Couldn't sleep, didn't know what was going to happen, if his throat would begin to close up. It was scary. It was scary for us. It was scary for him. And we prayed and prayed, and you prayed and prayed and prayed. And in our lowest moments during that week, we knew that even when we had nothing left, and we would cry just wondering what was going on. The doctor didn't know. They were trying all these things, and nothing was helping. Everything they gave us didn't help at all. And we're like, what is going on? And in those moments, we were reminded God was there. And at the end of that week, at the end of that long 7 days, God gave us an answer. God brought us to the right people at the right time, the right place. Our faith was tested and strengthened in the same week. That's what God does. Some of you are still in that testing phase of your faith, where you're facing trials and difficulties. Your faith is being tested. I promise, if you continue to rely on God and let prayer guide you and remind you that God is there, your faith will continue to be tested, but in time, you will recognize that your faith the whole time was being strengthened. Being strengthened. Prayer is a reminder. And lastly, is this: prayer is always worth it. Prayer is always worth it. Because God always answers. By the way, I didn't say the answer that you want. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, I take it back. We think it would be nice. But God does know best. God always answers in his time. Okay, in his time, in God's perfect timing, not when I want it, not when I think it should be, even if I have it all mapped up of why it would be great if God answered this prayer right now, in God's time, he answers in his way, not my way, not the exact way that I think it should be. Although sometimes, listen, I don't think I'm an idiot. I think I'm pretty smart. God, I think if you did it this way, it would work out for a lot of people, including me. But no. He answers yes in his time, in his way. And always, always, listen, ooh, I'm coming down for this one. Always, always and only for our good. He answers yes in his time, in his way, and always and only for our good. But Pastor, always only for our good. But you don't understand this. Always only for our good. But you don't know how bad it hurt. Always only for our good. But I've cried so much. Always only for our good. He's a loving Father. I'm telling you. But Pastor, but if it had just happened this way, always and only for our good. Prayer is always worth it. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. But he always answers according to his wisdom and love. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He will answer. 1 John 5:14, if Jesus said, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. He answers yes in his time, in his way, and always only for our good. There has never been a wasted prayer from your lips. Not one. Even the prayers that seem to fall flat are stored in heaven's record. God bends his ear to his children and his answers are always on time. He may not do what you expect. He may not do what you expect, but he will always do what is best. My wife and I were just talking on the drive yesterday, and I was sharing with her some things about prayer, about my life, and I said, you know, I was thinking about some of the things that we have faced as a family, and we all have our own trials, and I said, you know, God is teaching me so much over the last few years of church planning and just different things in our own lives. And I said, you know, there have been many times when I've wondered where God is, what God is doing. And I said, you know, it's very easy sometimes when we are going through something, let's just say a really big trial, the loss of a loved one. In some cases, people have lost a child or marriage struggles or just fill in the blank of just a dark valley. Like those hard moments of just like, and it's very easy without trying in our flesh to blame God. It just is. It's in our nature to be like, God, how could you do this? But I try to teach you and many of you on your own have learned that listen, God is sovereign. He's in control. But this world is a broken place, isn't it? It's a fallen world with evil in it. So when someone goes through a trial or a problem or something, it's not just God's fault. No. This brokenness affects us. God doesn't break up marriages. God doesn't just let kids get abused. God doesn't just take your loved ones away because he wants to. No. The brokenness of this world affects everybody. So I'm learning that, yes, that these things that we face in our lives that are hard, that are painful, that are awful, are not God's fault. Does he know them? Does he see them? Yes. But I was telling Marissa in the car, I said, you know, I've been thinking about it so much, like, yes, it's not God's fault, but what is God doing in those moments that I'm walking through a dark valley with nothing to give? When I'm hurt, when I'm crying, when I'm upset, what is God doing? And all I could think about, Darren, was God our Father in heaven on his throne, who loves us. Who loves us. And he cares about us. And we're hit with this world's brokenness. Fill in the blank, whatever it is you're facing. You've been burned, you've been betrayed, you've been abandoned, you've been falsely accused. Fill in the blank. And you're wondering what's going on. And God, who allowed it to, he didn't do it, but he didn't stop it, I guess you could say. So what is God doing? And all I could picture, Darren, was God in heaven looking down at us with eyes, maybe even tears of compassion, of almost a heart of, I know this is tough. I know it's hard. I hate that you're going through it too, but boy, I'm doing something in your life. I promise. Just keep trusting me. Just keep trusting me. I'm not going to stop it. That's not the way this works. That's not the way this works. This is a broken world. That's why I sent my son to die for you, to die for the world, to help you. I can't just stop every bad thing that happens. I can't. It's just not the way it is. He could if he wanted to. Yes, I'll say that. He's all powerful, but that's not the way our spiritual life works. No, life isn't supposed to be always easy. And I can just see God up there in heaven with a heart of love and compassion hurting with us. And just, you ever had a parent, a moment when your kid comes home from school with a bad day and there's nothing you can really say, but you just have that look of care where you're just kind of like, man, your face just says, I'm sorry, buddy. Your face just says, I'm with you, I'm with you. And that's how I see God in those moments as a father that just looks down and says, hey, I'm with you. I know it's hard. I know it's hard, but I'm with you. I'm with you. And then what do my kids often do? They come and they don't say anything, but they just latch on to me. And that hug, that embrace doesn't take away the problem, but it makes it a little easier to bear. And that's God our Father. Prayer is always worth it. What would happen in your life, my friend? What would happen in your life if you made prayer a priority? Think about that. What would happen in your life if you made prayer a priority? What would happen if you gave your first 5 minutes, 10, 15, 20? What would happen if you gave God the first 30 minutes of your day instead of to your phone? What would happen to your marriage? What happened in your children's lives and your finances? What would happen with your hidden struggles if you just started to take prayer seriously? Prayer opens doors that no man can open. Prayer funds the work before the check is written. Prayer empowers the preacher before he even reaches the pulpit. Hey, if the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, then imagine what would happen when an entire church prays with that kind of faith. Hey, let's be a church that prays like everything depends on God, because it does. By the way, Sundays at 10 a.m., this auditorium is open for business. Business with God. Every Sunday at 10 a.m., we close those doors and we have people come in here and pray for whatever. For the service that day, for the pastor, for your struggles, for fill in the blank, whatever you want to pray for. Oh, I think we had 4 this morning. I think we should have 10 next week. I think, listen, we're talking about prayer. Everybody, amen, pastor. Hey, let's pray then. Let's take it seriously. Because listen, God may not be calling you across the world to be missionary, but he's calling you to your knees. Hey, that's what he wants us to do. Because when God's people pray, the gospel goes forward, the church is strengthened, and the world is changed. When God's people pray. So yes, pray like it's easy, because God is there at any time. Fight through when it's hard. Remember who's listening when you pray, and never forget, prayer, prayer, prayer is always worth it. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.